Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogart Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Wendell Fikes, and we invite you to stay tuned to Q99.7 as we study the Scriptures together. We're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. The book of Revelation begins with these words, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants, things which must shortly take place, and He sent and signified it by His angel to His servant John. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 and 3. The book of Revelation is a form of literature styled apocalyptic, which means that it is characterized by a series of visions which are portrayed in symbolic language, wrote Wayne Jackson. We stress two observations. First, things, the visions, John was about to see would be signified, that is, showed to him through signs and symbols. Secondly, a blessing is given to everyone. A, to those who read the book of Revelation. B, those who hear and understand the teaching of Revelation. "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts," Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. "Beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear," James chapter 1 and verse 19. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches," Revelation chapter 3 and verse 22. All who will keep or give heed or do the things written in this book will be blessed. "If you love me, keep my commandments," John chapter 14 and verse 15. "I'm your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book," Revelation chapter 22 and verse 9. So there's an admonition to read the Scriptures contained in the book of Revelation. Learn the great truths and promises of victory to the saints who overcome and follow faithfully the Lord's commandments, who endure trials and punishment. Don't give up. A reward awaits all who will obey His word. Relative to the term signified in verse 1, we can confidently say that Revelation chapter 20 is saturated. It's filled with signs, symbols, and figurative language. This factor is many times crucial to an accurate explanation and a correct understanding of a text in the Scriptures. Revelation chapter 20 is a vivid example of symbolic language. Failure to recognize the figurative and symbolic language in Revelation 20 is to greatly err and stumble in the explanation of these Scriptures. Therefore, it's necessary to recognize the symbolism employed by the Holy Spirit throughout the book of Revelation, and in particular in chapter 20. These verses are among the most misunderstood, misused, and perverted Scriptures in the book of Revelation and even in the New Testament. With this in mind, let's examine some of the difficult verses in Revelation chapter 20. But first, it will be helpful to identify doctrines or teachings that are not taught in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 does not teach that Christ is coming to establish his earthly kingdom? The church, or kingdom prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures, was established on Pentecost A.D. 30. Daniel prophesied, "In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms. It shall stand forever." Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Jesus said, "There are some standing here who will not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. Luke wrote, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The kingdom will come before some of you die. The kingdom will come with power before some of you die. The power will come when the Holy Spirit comes. When the Holy Spirit comes, we will find out when the kingdom came, because the kingdom will come with the power of the Holy Spirit according to what is written in the Scriptures. Continue reading with Luke. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they," the apostles, "were all with one accord in one place." Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. "They," the apostles, "were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Peter declared, "This is that which the prophet Joel foretold. And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. All the apostles and all the saved, baptized believers were in the kingdom, beginning from the date of Acts chapter 2. Paul said, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. The Apostle John wrote, "I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom." Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9. The church, the kingdom, had been in existence for more than 6 decades when the Apostle John was showed the visions he recorded in the book of Revelation. The kingdom, or church, came into existence, or was established, on Pentecost A.D. 30. Peter said that Jesus was exalted to the right hand of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 33. He received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He poured out this which you now see and hear. As he was being stoned to death, Stephen said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Acts chapter 7 and verse 56. What's Christ doing at the Father's right hand? He is reigning at his Father's right hand. What is Christ reigning over? Christ is reigning over his kingdom, the church. Christ could not reign over a kingdom that didn't exist. The kingdom, the church, began on Pentecost. The kingdom has been in existence since the day of Pentecost. The kingdom is now in existence. Christ began his reign over his kingdom when the kingdom began on the day of Pentecost. Christ is now reigning from heaven, from God's right hand, over his kingdom, the church, on earth. Not only is Christ presently reigning over his kingdom, but the Scriptures reveal how long he will continue to reign. Hear what the Scriptures say. "He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet." 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 25. Then comes the end, when he, Christ, delivers the kingdom to God, the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. Ladies and gentlemen, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is at this very moment seated at the Father's right hand and reigning over his kingdom, the church, right here on earth. Christ will reign over his kingdom, the church, until he comes again. When he comes, time, as we know it on earth, will end. It's over. The end of time has come. There will be no time for the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, on David's throne in the city of Jerusalem. Number 2, Revelation chapter 20 does not teach that there will be a rapture of the righteous before the resurrection of the wicked. The word rapture is not mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. The word rapture is not mentioned in the book of Revelation. In fact, the word rapture is not mentioned in all the Bible. The rapture of dispensational premillennialism is not mentioned nor even hinted of in the Scriptures. Number 3, Revelation chapter 20 does not mention Christ's second coming or Christ's reign on the earth. Revelation chapter 20 does not mention Christ's reign in the new temple on earth. Revelation 20 does not mention Christ's rule on the literal throne of David. Revelation chapter 20 does not mention Christ's rule in the literal city of Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 20 doesn't mention the Jews being regathered to Palestine. Revelation chapter 20 doesn't mention raptured people who will be away for 7 years, then come back to earth and reign with Christ 1,000 years, as the millennialists teach. There's no hint or any mention of key assertions and points of this premillennial faith teaching in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And yet, they contend that all these events will happen. Where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Where's the teaching in the Scriptures that Christ will return to earth and resurrect the righteous dead and change the living righteous only, then secretly rapture them to heaven for 7 years and come back to earth and set up a kingdom and reign for a literal 1,000 years on David's throne in the city of Jerusalem? The Scriptures are as silent as the tombs about these teachings. Author Wayne Jackson divides Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 15, into four parts or four sections. Part 1, verses 1 through 3, the binding of Satan. Part 2, verses 4 through 6, the reign of the saints. Part 3, verses 7 through 10, a brief period of terror. Part 4, verses 11 through 15, the final judgment. Mr. Jackson makes the following comments about symbolic language. This type of writing, he says, was common in times of great danger, which is clearly evidenced in this book. It was employed to smuggle a message of hope to the Lord's people when an unambiguous declaration of victory would have multiplied their afflictions. The basic design of the book of Revelation is to show that, in spite of the devastating persecution to which Christians were being and would be subjected, the cause of Jesus Christ would ultimately be victorious over all opposing forces. The key word in Revelation is overcome. Chapter 2, verse 7, verse 11, verse 17 and 26, chapter 3 and verse 5, verse 12 and verse 21. Christ has overcome, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5, and so shall his people overcome. Attempts to literalize the figures of the book of Revelation have resulted in so much confusion. Examples of this are seen in the Watchtower Witness claim that only 144,000 will enter heaven, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14, and chapter 14 and verse 1, and the millennialists' belief in a literal thousand-year earthly reign of Christ, Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. Part 1, verses 1 through 3, talk about the binding of Satan. John said, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Note the symbolic words, key, bottomless pit, chain, dragon, 1,000 years. It's certainly a strange interpretation which contends that a figurative serpent was bound with a figurative chain and thrown into a figurative abyss, which was locked with a figurative lock that had a figurative key to be confined for a literal 1,000 years. It ought to be manifestly obvious that no literal reign of Christ upon the earth is here alluded to. Even if one doesn't understand the specific design of the symbols, he can see the symbolic import of the 1,000 years. ChristianCourier.com. Part 2, verses 4 through 6. The reign of the saints. I saw the thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. Jackson writes, the context of Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, is a part of the design of the book as a whole. Many scholars believe that this section is a symbolic description of the revival of Christianity from a period of bloody persecution. For example, earlier in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, John had seen the souls of the martyrs underneath the altar crying, how long, O Master, the holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? In chapter 20, however, the apostle views the souls on thrones, reigning with Christ. For a while, Christianity appeared to have been buried in tribulation, but ultimately it emerged. It was, figuratively speaking, resurrected. The scriptures speak of figurative resurrections, as well as literal ones. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19, Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 12, and Romans chapter 11 and verse 15. For example, in Ezekiel, the Bible says, thus says the Lord God, behold my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 12. Ezekiel's vision of the valley of dry bones is an example of a figurative resurrection. The nation of Israel is portrayed as lifeless dry bones. Ezekiel sees the bones come back to life. They are symbolically and figuratively resurrected. That this resurrection alludes to the triumphs of the persecuted saints is further borne out by the fact that the second death hath no power over the reigning ones, which harmonizes perfectly with chapter 2 and verse 11. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Thus, the resurrection of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6 is a figurative way of saying overcome. The first resurrection appears to be the resurrection of a cause, not of departed saints. The 1,000 years also would be symbolic in scope, suggesting either that the victory of God's cause, as considered in this text, would be lengthy in span, or possibly the 1,000 years may denote the completeness of the saints' triumph. Having said that, one may confidently say that the term thousand is never used in the book of Revelation in a literal sense. Read Examining Premillennialism in thechristiancourier.com. Part 3, verses 7 through 10, A Brief Period of Terror. These four verses suggest that Satan will unleash a last-ditch effort and viciously attack the saints and the Lord's church for a short time. The devil will try with all his might and weapons to eradicate the church and all the saints. The battle of Satan and evil against Christ and righteousness will be brief, fierce, and bloody, but it will be futile. The saints will be tried as gold in the fiery furnace of afflictions and persecutions, even to death. But through faithfulness and loyalty to King Jesus, they will overcome and be victorious over sin and Satan. Part 4, verses 11 through 15, The Final Judgment. John said, I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. These five verses describe the end of the material universe. All the dead from creation to the end of time will come forth from their graves, from the bottom of the seas, and from the ashes of the earth, and appear before the judge of all judges. Every person will give an account of himself and herself to the Almighty. Nobody will be late or absent at the judgment day. Each individual will be judged according to his or her obedience to Christ and to his word that's revealed in the scriptures. Go to ChristianCourier.com, search the word premillennialism. You'll find 18 related articles about prophecy, premillennialism, and Revelation. These detailed articles will help you understand what the scriptures teach on topics such as God and the nation of Israel, the wolf and the lamb. How can the church be the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44? Who are the 144,000 of Revelation chapter 7 and chapter 14? Principles of Bible prophecy. Armageddon. The kingdom was established on Pentecost. Christ began his reign over the church, his kingdom, on the earth that day. Jesus declared, Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. Christ will never set foot on this earth again. Saints will meet Christ in the air, not at the old city of Jerusalem. You who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. Do not marvel at this. The hour is coming, Jesus said, when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Christ will judge the righteous and the wicked, at the same time at his coming. All nations will be gathered before him. Matthew chapter 25, verse 32. Jesus will separate them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." Then he'll say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. If you have a question or a comment about our lesson this morning, we can be reached by phone at 373-5773 or by email to ed@churchofchristwasilla.com. A free CD of today's lesson is available on request. I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
We hope that you've been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway to Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard, just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented or would like additional study material or a home Bible study, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com or contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.